We saw that for Aristotle, animals are the paradigmatic modes of substance. The animal is a kind of being characterized by the fact that it is alive. And so being alive was its fundamental function or its fundamental modality of being. And what this meant, we said, from the very beginning of our discussion of Plato, is having a soul. Notice that that way of putting things means that the soul is not a something that we have that makes us alive. The soul is not a little animal inside us, which, by virtue of its being alive, makes us alive. If that were the case, there would be, as you can immediately see, an infinite regress. What is it that would explain the life of the soul? The soul is simply the principle of our being alive. It's what we called in Plato the essential form, or what we called for Aristotle the formal cause of things that are alive, that is, animals and plants alike, being alive. What it means to be alive is, for Plato and particularly for Aristotle, we saw to exhibit those modes of activity and those characteristic capacities that mark out animal life and make animals distinctive and powerful centers of determinate being and activity. This perhaps is not so clear in Plato as it is in Aristotle, who makes explicit those kinds of remarks in his treatise that we looked at on the soul. But in both of them, there are clear indications of the two central features that mark out what it is to have a soul, that is, to be alive. The features of awareness, on the one hand, and the capacity for free action, which characterize human animals. We might think of this as the modalities by which animals are capable of taking in the world or being acted upon by the world, the passive modality, and the modality of action in which animals act out in the world. So they're capable of awareness of the world, and they're capable of acting out into the world and changing it. Well, that's essentially what it is to have a human soul for both Plato and Aristotle. And the care of the soul means attending to these features of ourselves as rational animals. That is, being attentive constantly to our lives as conscious beings and our lives as thinking, active, free, rational animals. Here, I think, is the deepest community in Plato and Aristotle. It is the vision of philosophy as the mode of caring for ourselves as thinking, aware, moral agents. That is, of humans as acting out our lives in awareness and freedom, and philosophy as the discipline, the activity, the science, but in a broad sense of science, that allows for the careful and concerned mode of learning how to do this properly. That is, I think, the deepest community between them. There are, of course, differences between Plato and Aristotle. Plato is interested in the question of being and its appearances in a way that Aristotle isn't. I mean by appearances not simply the modes of seeming and not being, but as we talked about when we talked about the Republic, the way in which being, as it were, makes its appearance, the other side of the subject's awareness, the way in which the world puts faced to us, shows itself to us, or makes, in that sense, its appearance. Here, the notion of subject and object, using subject now in a slightly different sense than the sense in which we contrast subject to predicate, the sense instead in which the subject is the conscious center of awareness and the object is what appears to it, is critical. And there is, in Western philosophy, and in philosophy in general, for that matter, a complex history of concern with the nature of appearance as related to the notion of subject and object. The masters of philosophical discourse on this topic include, among many others, the great Western philosophers Berkeley, Hume, and Kant, and above all, Plato.